to eat. We're going to have pizza here. And after Celebration Growth, we're going to sit down and start putting together a plan, the next steps to move us forward as a body. But today is the listening part. We want to hear what you have to say. We've asked Matt and Beth DuPlessis to be our moderators. They're going to field your questions. We have Mike Poole documenting the process so that for those who couldn't be here today, you're going to be able to see exactly what we said, what we thought, what God has laid on your heart about how to make this body, this local group of believers, better. Okay. So to facilitate that, I've asked four people to open us in prayer. First is going to be Ellen Stebbings.
Let's pray. Lord, we are your church. We're so grateful to be your church. We're here because we love you, because we want to spend our lives for you, for your kingdom. Lord, we acknowledge you as our king, as our sovereign, that you have a right to rule and reign in this place and in our lives and in our homes. Lord, we ask that your kingdom would come, your will be done in this place, just as it is in heaven. Lord, we confess that we are totally inadequate in ourselves to do anything for you, but we know that our adequacy comes from you, so we thank you for that. We rely 100% on you and your Holy Spirit to accomplish all the good works that you've planned for us from before the foundation of the world. So Lord, we give you this day. We ask that your Holy Spirit would reign in this room today, that we would be listening, that our hearts would be soft, that you would unite us as a family. Lord, we are your body, you are our head, and we give you your rightful place this morning and ask that all that we say and do will honor and glorify you. And it's in Jesus' powerful name that we pray. Amen.
Stuart.
Lord God, we just we thank you for this building, Lord. We thank you for this congregation. We thank you for every person who's stepped through this building, Lord. We thank you for the work that you've done in this place and that you continue to do. We pray for guidance and wisdom as we look forward as individuals, but also as a church, Lord. We just pray for your grace and your mercy and also your wisdom and truth, Lord, as we look to the future, Lord. We pray this in your holy Son's name. Amen.
Yeah. Kim?
Father, we thank you first and foremost for our salvation, for loving us so much that you gave up your spot in heaven to come down here and live amongst those that you created. Lord, you sold, you gave it all up for us. You were sold out for us 100% to the point of death. And Lord, we pray that you would give us the courage through your Spirit to be sold out for you in our lives every day. Lord, you created us all different. We're all very, very different people. And that's good, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to see our differences in a positive way, not in a way that give us opportunities to be critical and intolerant of one another, but to come together like a puzzle of different pieces, and that we would fit together beautifully, Lord, and that this body would have our eyes as a whole on you, and that our differences would bring us together for your kingdom, Lord. I pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen.
And Jonathan.
Heavenly Father, Lord God, you have called us to this place in Attleboro to be your church. Please, Lord God, speak today, Lord God, where we as your church can go forth and better equip the area with your word to better be a light and a city on a hill in this area. Pray, Lord God, that as we are here listening, that we are listening to you, Lord God, and that today may be done for your glory and honor. In your holy and precious name, Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen. So the Lord said that he's going to build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, right? So we are here today to make that a reality, right? With that, we'll have Matt and Beth take it over.
Thanks, Mark. My name is Matt. Beth over there, who you probably know. So if you're a guest this morning, it is obviously different, and it will be a different conversation, but I've noticed that this section has managed to sit in exactly the same spots. So, cannot be changed.
Today we're having a family conversation. So if you attend Good News, you're the family. And we want to hear, what are we doing well? What could we do better? And what things do you think we should stop or change?
So it's going to be an open mic time. You can raise your hands, and Beth and I will walk around, bring you a mic. It's the questions and the comments without necessarily the answers, right? Not necessarily a back and forth, but we really would love it if people are able to continue and follow up on the thoughts of folks in front of them and build the picture so that we all understand what we're thinking about. We should mention that in addition to this verbal conversation this morning, for about a month, the elders have been asking folks to submit written thoughts, written comments, and a whole bunch, about 24 of those were written out and put in the offering basket. About another dozen came in via email and snail mail, and those are also kind of going into the pot of ideas and to be discussed. So we're excited about that.
Right. So if you have a comment or an observation to share, that's great. And if you have a question, that's great. And if you have a suggestion with your question or comment, that's even better. We're going to have a scribe this morning. He's sharpening his quill right over there. And
Mr. Mike Poole.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so we're going to pass the mic. Try to keep your comments to a minute or less, if you could. We're not looking for a sermon because we want to try to get in as many people as possible. Don't make Beth cut you off. She's ruthless. At about 20 of, 20:15 noon, we'll end the conversation so that we have time to have communion and some worship together before we close.
All right, so who wants to lead us off?
Good morning, thank you. Just to share a couple of thoughts, I really on my heart to really expand the men's ministry and connecting men through nature. And the other thought I had was Good News on Tap, which is men meeting in like breweries, brew pubs, worshiping the word, once a month, once a week, and really connecting where people are and reaching out to the men. This is something that's been on my heart. I'm willing to get involved with that and just really just want to think outside the box and how we connect to people in the community.
I follow up. Yes, so just a quick suggestion. We're going to have a brew day in April. So I just want to follow up on the brew on tap or sometime in there. So. Keep an eye open for that, but one, I'd like to see the men get together and really build bonds just through spending time together as well. So, I agree.
Another one. Can you open with your name? The request has been open with your name so our stenographer knows who you are. Another observation. What did we do right in 2017? What can we do better in 2018?
Hi, I'm Wayne Cobley. One of the items I wrote down was more Bibles in the church. I know we hand them out. I think that's awkward for people that they forgot their Bible or they didn't bring it. But I'd ask everybody here, why didn't you bring your Bible today? Are you getting lazy? Are you just looking up at the PowerPoint and going, oh, there's the word. You know, I bring my Bible every time, and if I forget it, I actually feel bad, like I should go back home and get it. So that's just a comment I'd have, is if there were more Bibles in the church, then when you do forget it, you're not so awkward about admitting you forgot it.
Hi, my name is Joyce Lima, and in regards to the Bible, I just think that maybe for the kids in the Sunday school, if somehow, I know there's goals and incentives for them to bring their Bibles, but that's not always possible for a variety of reasons. So I don't know if there's any way that they could have maybe access to the same Bibles every Sunday. So some of those good old-fashioned sword drills or whatever is appropriate could give them the experience of turning the pages and seeing the word.
I'm Megan, and I just want to say thank you to whoever did the women's bathrooms. I know it's a lot of volunteer hours, hand-painted art in there, and I know it's really hard with people coming in and out, keeping it clean, the maintenance, and we don't give thanks for these people. So thank you very much for your hard work.
Hi, my name's Dina. In the same way that they were talking about fellowship for men, what's laid on my heart is fellowship for all of us. I feel that small groups are awesome, and they fill a need in certain ways, but we've lost touch, I think, with each other as a whole church body and a family, and I think we need more things, not just potlucks. We need Valentine's night like we used to, or just a night to come and play board games and hang out, just get to know each other better on a larger scale, and that's a suggestion, something that's on my heart.
My name's Art Warner, and I want to thank Zach and Christy Stebbings for heading up the bathroom project, just so you know who to thank when it's all said and done.
Oh, hi. My name is Terry Acevedo, and I just have a question, then I'll follow up with what my concern. And the question is simple, and it bounces off of what Deanna said. My question is, who am I? Who am I? When I look around this room, I say to each and every one of you all, because we're brothers and sisters in the church, I think we all feel sometimes that, do these folks really know me? So that's my question. Who am I? Built upon that, thinking also that, again, bouncing off of Deanna, a compassionate ministry, get out of our comfort zone in this ministry, and an encouragement ministry. Compassionate meaning, we oftentimes hear through Steve that someone's sick or someone's in dire stress, but as a rule, we don't get it all throughout before it actually gets to a dire state. So I'm thinking about those ministries in ways in which, hey, you got a birthday, you got a baby born, you got something going on. I don't want to wait till Sunday to know about it. Okay, so I'm thinking an encouragement ministry, someone who can help us to stay in touch with a who am I. Someone who could, whether it's a group or not, it doesn't have to be just of women. So I don't like the segregation kind of thing. I think, yes, indeed, we do need ministries for men and women. Okay, because there's some things about a guy that I can't address. But the segregation of you there and me here, no. And it shouldn't only come through marriage. You got a lot of people that's thinking about marriage, but they need to know how to be engaged, be friends, and build relationships. So I'm thinking in that vein. I'm offering myself up in all those veins, okay? So if we do and can find a way to make this happen, because it's not about a wrong. I don't think anything is being wrong here. I just think we don't know. We don't know. So therefore, we can't input. So that's my little piece. Go for it, Matt.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. I don't want to stand up. Okay, hi. I'm just going to work off of what you just said. Some people may not know. GNBC does have a Facebook for GNBC ladies. I'd love to see maybe just good news for everybody. I really love being able to see, again, if someone's sick, if someone had a baby, things like that. But there are things about some of, like, the men or other people who aren't part of Good News that maybe we don't know. So if anybody has any ideas of maybe we can do something more social networking. I know it's 21st century. A lot of people love it. A lot of people hate it. Something along those lines so we can all stay connected.
Hi, I'm Cindy. And along, again, with those same lines, I know, and this is my fault, but I would love to see some meetings about, you know, a while ago I did the purpose-driven life, you know, what's your shape for ministry, or and, you know, I might be lazy, but what am I gifted at really that can help the kingdom? And maybe if we had meetings that we could go to and kind of just to discover each other and discover what our gifts are and how we can contribute, it would spur me on and maybe others on a little bit more to get out of our comfort zone, like you were saying, and really bite the bullet and really begin to serve the Lord.
I just have two thoughts. The first one is if we had a directory, we could send cards to people or so forth. That's really important because I'm rather new to the church, and I don't even know who to ask for someone's address because who has it. And then the other thing is I think it would be nice to have a prayer bulletin that lets people in the bulletin that we get when we come to church, so we know who's sick and who just had a baby and so forth, because sometimes word of mouth doesn't do it. You don't find out about everybody.
Hi, my name's Todd. I'd actually, something that's been on my heart a lot is I'd actually like to challenge the church. Might make a few enemies here, but I'm challenging everybody to make it to First Thursday prayer, please. Anybody that hasn't gone, you're really missing out. It seems like there's a handful of us that tend to show up on a regular basis, but it's amazing. So I'm putting a challenge out there. As a church family, let's gather together stronger for prayer, and like to see as many people as possible at First Thursday prayer.
Hi, I'm Kim. I would ask, and I'm not really sure how to go about doing it. I do have a few ideas. I feel as though the college age group kind of gets lost. I feel as though frequently the messages are geared more towards the older adults, families, married couples, or even singles, but a more adult age. I know Ben and Jen have been for years and years and years have poured their lives into youth group, which are young and then up into high school. They could certainly use a lot more help, especially right now with the challenges that they're going through in their own personal lives. But I think the college-age kids get lost because they're not here. Most of them aren't even here, but they're still part of our family. So perhaps finding out, first of all, who they are, maybe you don't even know, finding out who they are, and then start just developing a relationship with them, with texting, with Instagram, and other social media avenues, even good old-fashioned snail mail. Just keeping in touch, sending encouraging words, be it scripture or just praying for you today. What can I pray for you about today? What's going on in your life? They don't even need to divulge personal stuff that's going on in their life. Maybe they aren't comfortable doing that. But just knowing that somebody's got their back with the Lord can be a huge encouragement. So I'm going to encourage everybody to find out who's in college right now, who of our body isn't here and is away at college, or even locally in college. I'm sure many of you can remember, it's a tough, tough time in your life in college. There are so many stresses, so many expectations, and they're busy. And it's hard for them to find time to get on their knees. So if they know that somebody's behind them, spiritually backing them up and saying, hey, I got your back. I'm praying for you. Just give me a word today. One word. Give me one word. Can I pray for you today? And then it doesn't divulge any personal thing. God knows what's going on. So that's my encouragement.
Hi, I'm Melody. I just want to follow up on what Kim said, and even just those that have graduated college, and they maybe come back to the area, and there's not too many of those in the audience. I've noticed that quite a bit for a long time now. And so my big thing in my heart is that, you know, I don't feel that we're gearing ourselves or reaching out to that age group. And if we don't do that, I don't think we're going to grow, because that's our future. So I just wanted to add to that.
Thanks. I'm Stephanie. I am a college student. Yay. I feel like I'm kind of lost in the church. I feel like there's the people that have young families, and then there's the youth group, but there's nothing for me here. It's something that I was actually just talking to Justin about this week, is I feel like we need to do something and get connected with other people within the church that are young married couples that don't have any children yet, because once there's children involved, there's a lot of other factors that go into play. Something that I've actually heard from somebody addressing finding a college student is within the church, you can actually adopt a college student, where you reach out to them and you say, hey, I'm praying for you, or they'll come to you and say, hey, I've got this going on in my life, and it becomes your mission to be with that college student, not in the family, somebody within the church that you trust. Something that I personally would have liked to have, and I heard about it through another woman who does attend another church, and she sent her a little care package with little things that were going to help her through her finals, her midterms, her whatevers. So I think that would actually be a really great idea to start doing, and it also gives them a connection to home without it being a connection to their parents. And it's just something that will keep them coming back to church and keep them connected within the church body.
I kind of wanted to piggyback on Todd's challenge, but to Steph and Justin, I think you just found your job. And that's my challenge to all of us. If you see a need, do it. Fill it. I feel like I'm a teacher. And I'm teaching long division to fourth graders, and there's only so many times I can go over it, and then I just have to say, okay, you know it, just do it. Just do it, okay? You can do this. And I got to tell you, I was looking back through my Bible, and there are 17 weeks of awesome biblical teaching on discipleship, people. 17 weeks of training. Nobody can say, I don't know what to do. I'm not equipped. You have the Holy Spirit. You have solid biblical teaching. Get busy and do it. I'm not usually confrontational, but I'm feeling like we need a challenge. And then also, this has been in my Bible for, I don't even know when this was passed out, probably about a year ago, 21 opportunities to serve people in Jesus' name. Don't tell me you don't have a job to do, that you don't have a part in this family. You are needed. You are important. There is nobody in this room that cannot serve. Every one of us needs to get busy. If you see a need, own it. And by the way, we have had lots of events to build this fellowship and to make those connections, and I got to tell you, nobody comes. I sat out there at the volleyball court when we had a ladies' volleyball night by myself. I prayed, and I was like, okay, Lord, clearly this isn't meeting a need. But if we say we want to know each other, we have to be committed. We have to say, okay, this body is my family. This body is these are my brothers and sisters. I'm going to commit to spending time with them. I'm going to invite them over to my house for dinner. I'm going to pursue them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to send them notes. I just want to challenge us. We have been equipped. There is not a one of us in this room that cannot get busy serving God. So there's my challenge on Todd's challenge.
Hi, I'm Zach.
Hello.
So I also wanted to kind of, I don't want to say offer a counterpoint to that, but to know 200 people intimately would require us to be so inwardly focused that we would become ineffective at reaching the world around us. So one thing I want to make clear is that our lifeblood, as I envision it, is small tactical teams of people who are so deep into each other's life and who are so aligned for a common cause that the world around them sees them and has nothing to say except they are different. Why are you guys like this? Why are you doing this? And it's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. So I understand and I value getting to know people in the congregation. I think being united as a family is critical, critical to our life. But I'd also like to see us become aligned and focused on discrete missions and tasks that work for a larger picture of what good news is all about and what the gospel is all about. So I echo the thoughts. In some respects, it's a little different, but I love where this conversation is going.
My name is Samantha, and I just wanted to say this church has a really great group of elders and leaders who see new people and who reach out to them and make them feel welcome. I just started coming here, and I'm sure many, if not all of us, know and understand how scary it can be to come to a new place where you don't really know anybody. And so it's helped me feel comfortable really quick to have people that came up and introduced themselves and made me feel really welcome.
Praise God. It's like a maze in here today.
Oh, thank you. Hi. Ooh, excuse me. My name is Marion, and my main concern is the worship body. When we come together on a Sunday to praise and worship God, music is such an important aspect of a joyful celebration of God's goodness, His love, His mercy, His grace. I think if we, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I just like to see more clapping, more tambourine things, more joyful praising the Lord to draw us in and make us happy to be here and not. I realize the sacrifice Jesus made, hallelujah, for all of us, it's finished. But I just like to be part of that, that I'm coming in here to celebrate His resurrection. Hallelujah.
Hi, my name is Ketra. I'm Tammy's mom. She's not in here at the moment, but I just wanted to tell you that I'm very grateful for people reaching out and helping. To my daughter after her birth and just being with her, being there for her, being a family when I can't be here. And I'm very thankful. Thank you for your meals. Thank you for being here.
Hello, my name's Adam. Bear with me, I've had a cough. I think I can get through this. I just want to speak to life groups and the importance that I see as of that being part of the good news experience. And is it Samantha? Okay, Samantha, what you just said, to tag on to that, it was a good 2 years of my wife and I coming here, and we heard it all the time. Join a life group. There's a list back there. Call somebody up. Pick a time that works for you. That's great. And we didn't. You know, it's fear, it's shyness, a little bit of social anxiety. And it wasn't until Joe Williams came, and he said, are you and Rachel in a life group? I said, no, we're not. He said, here's the address. Be here Friday at 6. And we showed up. And 4 or 5 years later, still showing up. So my challenge, if any of you lead a life group, find somebody, invite them. It goes such a long way, and it could just be that one small step that somebody needs. And don't be afraid of doing it two or three times. It may have taken that. So, thank you.
Good morning. My name is Mick. I'm painfully honest sometimes, so why shouldn't I be now? I only can tell you what I see through my eyes or what I feel in my heart. This is about corporate prayer. When I heard about it, I says, yeah. When I went for the first time, I hated it. And I figured, well, that's just me. You know, I don't know the folks. So just shut up and try it next week. So I came back the second week. And I felt better, but it didn't sit right. Then I came back the third week. And I says, I don't think so. And out that door I went, and I haven't been back since. And I'm not picking on anybody. I don't know all the ins and outs of corporate prayer. I know where it says in Acts that they came together and the place shook. Well, what I felt, and this is just me talking, is that there was a need to have the numbers up, a need for a good showing, and a program that you follow in order to do that. And the guys go over here and the girls go over there, and here's a little list of what you pray for. You got 15 minutes. And my heart went out the door unsatisfied. I didn't make contact with the one I came to talk to. So, now that I've spit out what I feel, my suggestion would be not to wipe that out because obviously that's scriptural, but maybe, and maybe others feel the same way, that if folks could come and get in smaller groups and thereby also get to know each other better and pray and pour their hearts out to one another, maybe that combined with a total gathering of folks would grow corporate prayer to a more powerful level. I don't know if anybody feels that way, but I sure do. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Gary. I want to, first of all, thank the elders here and what the job that they're doing and the leadership that we do have. I like what Ellen and Zach had to say because it is all here. I was reading in Corinthians 3, and they were having an argument with certain things in Corinthians where they were having a problem who they were following. Paul says, I plant in Apollo's waters. But the next statement, he says, it's God that increases. Now, every one of us have a spirit here, and that spirit is telling us, and our conscience is telling to be with God all the time. And that spirit is telling you what everybody was saying here, the fact that it's here. The body is weak, but the spirit is willing. The spirit is in you. And I like what Ellen had said, is saying that it's all here. It is all here. There's life groups. There's everything is here, so don't be afraid. You know how Satan works. He knows you. He's going to make excuses for you. Oh, and by the way, if you follow him, who are you following? Are you following Christ or him? So it is here. And I like what our brother Zach had said, is saying we have small groups here. I have a group on Thursdays. Anybody that's come can come. It's during the day. It's about four or five of us. Mostly it's people who don't work or elderly. And we have a great group, and we pray for each other. And you know what? When we do, things work. Things come alive because we know each other. And what Zach was saying is, I can't know everybody here, but I know that you have Christ that's in your heart. Follow what God is telling you, to what group you want to go to, and what you're supposed to do. Our sister over here is complaining, not complaining, I'm sorry I said that, but saying something that should be done and it's on your heart, then do it. Just do it. Don't be afraid. You have elders. You have other people here to help you to grow. So I just want to thank this church every week that we can come. And this ministry right here, believe it or not, is really good. Maybe we should do this every month. I don't know. To get together and to know each other, because everybody who talks, I don't know whoever talked, but now I'm getting to know them because of what they just said. So it's very cool, isn't it? Isn't this awesome? This is Christ-like. So, and also our brother was talking about prayer. A couple of times I didn't want to go either. But you got to come again, because it really is different. We do pair off in groups, but we're never the same group. It may be 15 minutes of this and that. Maybe we can change that, because I like what he said. Maybe we should just go in different groups and grow in a different room and pray, and then come back, all pray together. Because that's what they did. They all prayed together, I think. But anyways, I just want to thank you for this place to come and know all of you. I'd love to know all of you personally. And if you maybe knew me, maybe you'd hate me. But if you did, I want to know, because I can straighten myself out as well. I'm not good. I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like all of us. So with that being, thank you.
Hi, my name is June. I'm speaking from experience and also from talking to a couple of people who are facing the same challenge. A few years ago, I got involved in a life group. It was something I felt I needed, and the people were awesome. They were incredible. But after a few weeks, I left. And the reason I left was because I felt not smart enough to be there. I don't hold things like most people do. It's probably years of alcohol, but besides that, I have a hard time. So I kind of left feeling like an idiot, if you would say, not being knowledgeable. But I have a couple of people that are interested in going into a life group, but they face the same issue. They don't believe, you know, that they would be able to get through it. They're not smart enough. They can't remember things, you know, same issue. So I guess my question is, if there's like a life group that's for beginners that can move slow for these people, that will keep them coming back. I know that's something I should have checked into, but I didn't. That was my fault. I just left and never pursued. But God has put me where he needs me now, so that's what I'm doing.
Hi, I'm Darian. I've heard a lot of good comments here. One of the comments, I have a suggestion. I attended a church one time in California where they did something, I think it was once a month, and I think it would answer some of the concerns about connectedness. I've heard prayer bulletins and people wanting to know what's going on in other people's lives. They did something called Body Life, where they did something like this once a month at least. At the end of service, people stood around, and you got up and you said, "My dad died, I need prayer," or "such and such lost their house," or "such and such was being evicted," or "this person has been sick and he hasn't been attending church, can someone go visit him?" And it sort of connected people a little bit better, and it was more than just a written bulletin that people might not look at, but it was actively learning about what's going on in the congregation, and it gave you an opportunity to go try to meet a need. Secondly, I want to hop on what Ellen shared, and that's, it's really, and I'm pointing the finger at me here. It's really easy to come to service and to church and attend here with a very, you know, consumer mindset. That song wasn't that great, or the band could have been better today, or that sermon was okay. That should never be our attitudes. It should always be, you know, it's a song unto the Lord. We should be singing it. And I think our hearts need to be like that, that it, there, we should be coming to church with a servant heart. And how is it that we can serve? Yes. And have that serving being, you know, overseen as well. Like if somebody, you know, elder involvement in overseeing a lot of these, a lot of these different ministries that are happening, would be good as well. What else? I had one more thing. Oh, it'll come back to me. All right, I'm done.
Hi, my name is Debbie, and I just want to thank Good News for the Breaking of Bread service. I've seen numbers in that service dwindle. For those that don't know and haven't been to that service, it's just phenomenal. It is Spirit-led. It's a time. I'm sorry. It's a time when we can come together to thank God for his son. To remember what he's done for us. And I would like to throw out a challenge to all of you to get up earlier in the morning and to come and worship with us.
I just want to address June for a second and anyone else. I've been part of a care group since we first began, care groups, life groups, what have you. And when we've offered, most of us have been together for 15 plus years in our group. And we've offered this before, and I'll do it again today. If you're considering starting a care group or you just have questions, how do we do this? You know, I know, like you mentioned, you had a couple of people that, you know, same area of where you're at. You can see myself or anybody in our care group, and we would be happy to meet with you, help you get it off the ground. We'd come to the first few meetings and whatever it takes to empower you to do it. It's really pretty simple once you get it started, but, you know, sometimes getting started is difficult. So please feel free, myself, the Tremas, my wife, the Vayus, the Thompsons. I don't know if I'm missing, but anyway, we've been together for a long time, so whoever you're comfortable with, approach us. We'll be happy to sit with you and get it started.
Good morning. My name is Jose Acevedo. I think that I love this, not little church, but it's a church. And don't worry about being a small church. My wife and I come from a church. We used to go to a service with 10,000 people at the Boston Garden, at the Lower Auditorium, at the Worcester Centrum. 10,000 people. But out of the 10,000 people, how many did we know? So I think we are very blessed in here to be able to be together like this. I always thought, I grew up outside the United States, so I am from Puerto Rico, so I always thought that to organize a Christian church, probably the United States would be the worst place in the world to do it because we're from all over the world. We sit here and everybody, different roots, different languages, different beliefs, you know, different food. We dress different, we look different, we speak different. So when I see a little group like this, this only can happen for one reason, because we believe in God. And that belief brings us together. I know a lot of people probably don't know very well. We don't know each other very well. But if any time I walk in town or I'm in a supermarket and I run into one of these brothers and sisters and they tap me on the shoulder. Hey, you're from Good News. So I say, it's a good news that we are from Good News, you know. Otherwise, we wouldn't know each other. Yeah, like the brother was saying that, you know, we're shy. Personally, I've never been a person who functioned well within groups because that's the way I grew up, you know. But that doesn't mean that I don't like to be in groups, you know. The few times my wife and I were both challenged, we don't hear that well. I don't see that well. I just have my eyes done. But whenever I visit a home, one of the brothers and sisters for a little group, I love it. You know, it's only happened because the sacrifice that Jesus did for us. Otherwise, we'd still be enemies. You know, in this country today, that we are enemies. If you want to see what enemy, you go to Yankee Stadium with Red Sox shirt. And you see, you know, what the enemy is. Or some lot of people, even within the church, they take to the little group. And that's very natural to me. That's very natural. That's genetic. But what a blessing to have a place like this and a little church like this where we can gather and call each other brothers and sisters. Sometimes with a little, but still brother and sister, you know. So I count this as a blessing. My prayers are very different than other people. My prayers are mostly about, I don't put a lot of time in petitions, but more of a thankful. Thank God for this country. Thank God for this language that I learned. At the age of 25, I didn't speak a word of English. And I am myself taught. Nobody taught me. So that's a blessing that I learned and I can be here, you know, sharing with you. So this here, even though I see the pain on the elders, and that happens in every church, searching for ways to grow, to bring, you know, to reach out to the lost, and that's not easy, you know, in these times. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And the Bible tells us there will always be a few. You don't say they're going to be everybody. This is not for everybody, you know, but a few. So how a blessing to be among these few here, you know, that we know each other, we love each other. We have, living in this world of temptations today, have this little, you know, enclave here where we can come and you know, worship and call each other brothers and sisters. So don't think yourself that we're small or that we're not growing or, you know, the church is a living organism that they're going to be, you know, coming in and out, growing and sometimes getting smaller. But it's just the blessing of being here, having this opportunity. And we only do this because Lord Jesus died to make this possible. And if he didn't think that was possible, he wouldn't have done it.